Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. Every morning, they're first to step in the ring. This is Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
If he does turn out to play, then Nathan is he's a world-class player. He's won a cup. So if that ever happened, then that would be great. And if it doesn't happen, then we're not in any worse situation financially. Plus, we have the cap space available.
7:04, Brady and Walker.
It's not a dream. Pinch yourself. Do it again. It's not a dream. It happened.
It really did.
It really did.
It's we get paid so much money to give our opinions and use our words.
Speak for myself.
I'm not speechless, but I am floored. I am floored that the Toronto Maple Leafs do not employ David Clarkson today and will never suffer the cap consequences of 1 cent of that deal. It's incredible.
Okay. So how'd you hear about it? How'd you find out about it? This is important. Really?
I was making dinner. You texted me.
I broke the news to you?
Yeah, and then I went on Twitter and read about it.
So I saw an
email. We text all the time. We're best buds.
We are. I don't care what anyone says. You people are ridiculous. I like him. I like you too. So I got an email about it.
So drunk.
And I got an email about it. But it is literally one of the rare emails. Like how long have I had an email for? 18 years. I've had an email account for 18, 19 years. And I'm trying to think of emails that where you go, you're like, I'm going to almost close it and open it up again. So when you see Clarkson for Horton.
Am I dyslexic?
Like if someone had called me, someone on the venerable Hockey Central staff, if Nick Kiprios had rung my phone, it happens all the time. Again, there's another, we're BFFs.
You don't even have his number. Stop that.
We'll be courtside of the Raptors tonight. And he said, Brady, are you sitting down? I got some Leafs news. Or do you want to guess first? Like, at what point would you run out of guessing?
Yes.
Like, okay. Seriously.
All right, yes.
There's no move that would, like, what would I put behind in terms of guesses?
We all like to break news and break trades. We've done some of that on our show. We hope to do more of it. Deadline's coming up on Monday. We all have sources internally. I have a couple Leafs sources. If I got a text from one of them yesterday afternoon and said, you're not going to believe it.
You won't believe what the Leafs did in a transaction.
But we just traded Clarkson. I'm giving you the tip. I don't know if I could have ran with that. It's so unbelievable. I don't know if I would have had the balls to go on Twitter and say, ladies and gentlemen, breaking news, the Leafs have traded David Clarkson.
I would
have been so mortified that I would have looked like the biggest dork ever.
Here's what you would have said. Why does one of my colleagues hate me so much that they're setting me up to give the most ridiculous, and I'd say, have you got a couple minutes? But they wouldn't do that to you, okay? You're too stand-up a guy.
Our number,
by the way, is 416-870-0590, star 590. To hell with the 7 o'clock six pack. This is a massive story. It's the only story anyone's talking about. But we want to know how brilliant you think this is from the Leafs' perspective. And we get this also.
It's a get out of jail free card.
It's been 48 years of misery. There have been no Stanley Cup finals. There have been one playoff team in the last 12 years. I got it. We understand. We talk about it all the time. The bashing that happens is often justified, okay, for players, management, ownership alike. I don't know how you find the negative here. I'm trying to, honestly, even if you're trying so hard to go, well, David Clarkson's going to go get 20 and 20 in Columbus. You might think that.
I don't care if David Clarkson gets 50 in Columbus.
It doesn't matter. You've cleared his money out.
Yeah.
And
every cent.
Every cent.
It's contract for contract. There is no bonus overages. They're going to have to pay Horton, but it doesn't go on the cap. This is because there was the big thing coming out of the lockout, and every team gets 2 non-compliance buyouts. And a lot of people feel that the Toronto Maple Leafs kind of wasted theirs on Mike Komisarek and Mikhail Grabowski. And even in Grabowski's case, was he overpaid? Yes. Is he a bad player? No.
Well, thank you. Finally, you know.
I've never said he's a bad player.
Finally come to this point and you've admitted it.
He was not worth the $6
million.
Okay,
I agree.
Okay, all that said. They were an incredibly valuable tool that a lot of teams used, and some teams didn't use both of them. The Leafs, in essence, got 3. This is a non-compliance buyout, or compliance, whatever. I always get the non mixed up. This is a free buyout.
That's the only way to look at it. And you can say, hey, I think they'll be dumb. And it's sort of like the draft pick logic. Like we had a guy call earlier and say, I don't know about all these draft picks because they don't draft very well. Yeah, but you'd rather have them than not have them. And you know, again, unless you are re-signing Daniel Winix and Cody Franzens, you have to maximize your assets and move them on out of here. You're not re-signing either guy.
Of course. If you're going to draft crappy, yes, of course the rebuild is for naught.
Sure.
Of course it is.
Sure. And if you're going to waste that money, if you're going to blow your brains out in the summer and spend now David Clarkson's 575 on and give some guy a $30 million five-year deal. Again, we talked about idiotic signings by Ken Holland, idiotic signings by Lou Lamoriello. GMs make bad moves.
Right.
No one steps up to the plate and bats 1,000 on July 1st. Are you kidding? You're lucky to bat 300.
And this is how you got to look at it, too. So David Clarkson goes to Columbus, and he doesn't stop being overpaid. It's still a bad contract. Columbus would rather be paying a guy to play than paying a guy not to pay. And that's what that's what they were doing with Nathan Horton. Real money is more important to Columbus than cap money is.
Now, if you had the opportunity, I understand the logic. There's two things. Oh, there's a great tweet. Steve writes, my only fear of the downside of this is that they'll use Nathan Horton as an ex-Leaf in a pregame ceremony. And that's a good point. I mean, no apologies to Gary Volk and Peter Ng, but, well, I don't know what that was either on Saturday. No one does.
I think you have to play a game to be considered an ex-Leaf.
Olaf Kolzig's an ex-Leaf.
Mike Richter is an ex-Oiler because it was, remember that era picked up contracts in the summer for the compensatory pick?
That's right. 416-870-0590, *590. The one thing I'd listen to is if you were a competitive team and you were gunning for something this year, well, first of all, you throw a lot of this stuff out the window anyway, but would you rather have Mike Richards at the same money that day? Maybe so, but you're not. And that wipes all that out right now is you're not a team that could. Mike Richards can't come here and help you get from the first round to the second round or help you from bubble playoffs to get into the playoffs. If you thought you could, maybe it is worth doing that and then trading Mike Richards for Nathan Horton in the summer. I do say there wasn't a great need until the summer.
But the Mike Richards counts on the cap. Nathan Horton doesn't count on the cap.
I know that. But what I'm saying is if you're a good team, you don't make this. If you're a team playing for anything, you don't make this move. Everybody would want cap relief.
Well, LA would have loved to do Mike Richards for Nathan Horton.
I know.
But LA's ownership, and this is where you have to give some credit to Leafs ownership today. They said, yes, we will pay $25 extra million dollars to a guy to not play to save some cap room. We'll do it.
Yeah.
Look, right? LA's ownership, all they had to do is like, no, we're not giving away $25 million.
You can't name a team. Andrew and I can't name a team. You people listening out there, our great listeners, can't name a team where the cap has hit a team harder than the Leafs. The Leafs used to buy their way out of mistakes. They never spent the most. They never spent what the Rangers or the Red Wings or the Avalanche did, but they could fight it out, trade first-round picks and buy free agents back and keep the roster competitive. When the cap came, they went into the toilet because they weren't managed well and they didn't draft well. And, you know, we gave you the draft picks in the second and third round from 2002 on. But what no one can ever deny is they haven't been cheap about things. And they have spent a lot of money on Orr, McLaren, Grabowski, Gleason, they've put a lot of bodies in the minors. Tim Connolly that you know, would have been, you could have kept playing with those particular players. 416-870-0590, *590. Coming up next, Stephen Brunt, Hazel May, Dallas Aikens, all this hour. And Masayu Jury, top of next hour. Ange in Winona, our good friend in Winona. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good friend, eh? Good friend. You guys keep ducking me. Every time I call in, you never take my calls.
You challenge.
Okay,
we're doing the show. We don't screen the calls. You know that, right?
Where's Ryan? He's sleeping?
No, we traded him for a fifth-round pick.
He's dead.
A compliance
hit by a truck. Died on impact.
But you know, here's what happens. Here's what comes up on our screen. Ange is one of our most dedicated listeners and best callers. Now, he did challenge me to a fight in a downtown parking lot. Remember that in October?
Good heavens.
You wanted to drop trow on me.
That was Hockey Day in Canada.
Well, that was the opening day, October 1st, right?
Right.
Here's what comes up on our screen for people who don't know. We'll see Ange, that's his name. Winona, that's where he's from. And not his wife's name. And we'll see, like, really impressed with how Paye's playing. So we're not going to take that phone call. We can't. Krug has stepped up to prove he's a top four defenseman. We can't take those calls. It's not. We're not WEEI. We're not taking Red Sox calls either. That's how it goes.
But I just want to know how the straitjacket's fitting for you guys. Remember I called in and when the Leafs were on 11-game winning streak, and then you guys said, it's different this year.
Wait a minute. Did both of us say that? I'm not throwing Walker in front of the bus. I'm driving over him with it. But hey, listen, it's not different. It's not different. But now listen.
What's your point? Why are you calling?
As a Bruins fan, let me say this. Let me talk for a second.
This Clarkson move is fantastic. It is. But I don't think the guys in the boardroom are jumping up and down over this deal, right? You know, this is a mistake that Nonis made.
Yes.
He's correcting it. He's correcting it halfway because now they're spending $30 million to get rid of this guy. Now,
but it's got no impact on. I'll say two things. It's got no impact on what they do on the ice. And you, as a Bruins fan, and Red Wings fans, Sens fans, Canadiens fans, you're all mad. You're all mad that they got out from under this. You are.
No.
You are angry.
I'm not upset. No, because they have a lot of moves to make. Look at them last night. With old Clarkson on the ice, still had 40 shots against.
Oh, please. Come on, guys. The Leafs are in better shape today than they were yesterday. No doubt about it.
Yeah. One more quick one. Paul in Toronto. Better calls. Better calls when we move the show. You're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So I was just, maybe it's just with my age now, but there's a bit of a morbid side to this deal that I haven't heard anyone talk about, and I apologize if you did earlier, but people are praying that Nathan Horton doesn't get better. Like, this is a guy younger than all of us who, it probably hurts him to bend over to tie up his shoe. From some of the quotes I saw going around, people are retweeting like, yes, and then quote him saying, I can't bend over.
The ones, you're not wrong.
The Nathan Horton story is a really sad story. But let me tell you this, too. The Toronto Maple Leafs don't make this deal if Nathan Horton might come back and play.
Neither do the Columbus Blue Jackets.
He's not coming back to play. So I don't think anyone is cheering for him to be hurt. He's already hurt. Everyone hopes that he can get better, and his back feels great, and he can get in his car, and he can play with his kids, but he's not playing hockey.
If you want morbid, the thought I had when I heard about the deal and knew Horton wasn't going to play hockey again, it sucks. He's played 600 games. He's 30 years old. He could have played 600 more. The morbid part is, with great respect for Nathan Horton, I thought about when that CFL team drafted the dead guy. And I thought, is there any way the Leafs could have traded David Clarkson for someone who was deceased, let alone playing again? And I'm not, I still think you go ahead and make that move.
I think when you pass away, I think your contract.
You're off the cap?
Yes, I believe so.
There's no guarantee of that. I'd like to read up. The new CBA may have changed that.
That's true.
Hey, you don't know everything.
Although when you're over 35, it's, you're dead anyway.
But it's, you're dead from the hips down.
Yeah, okay. We want to send you to the ACC coming up. Our final tickets to give away. They take on the San Jose Sharks. Toronto does. March the 19th. We're just going to keep it.
We really should keep it.
All right, so name us this mystery player. Here's your second clue this morning. He was a one-time junior teammate of LA Kings center Mike Richards. Well, Manchester Monarchs center Mike Richards. Your next clue, chance to win, coming up at 8:14.
Stephen Brunt will join us from Dunedin, Florida. Hazel May will join us from not Dunedin, Florida. All next, Dallas Aikens before the top of the hour as well at 8 o'clock. Messiah, Jerry, Darcy Tucker, Elliot Freeman, all after that. And then we'll be playing 48 minutes of classic rock.
We'll ask Stephen Brunt what color the dress is. He will have no idea. It is 7:17. Hey, what color is the dress, Elena?
The dress is blue and...
No, it's not. Right. It is not.
Back at it. Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
7:25. Good morning. We'll get right to it. The Toronto Blue Jays. Interesting guy. I know it's somewhat dwarfed by this David Clarkson stuff, but Johan Santana is going to be at Blue Jays camp, which is incredible. And Michael Saunders is out until the All-Star break. It was a busy day in Jays land yesterday.
Yeah, I had to look it up. Jamie Moyer did make two starts in Las Vegas. I'm not comparing the Johan Santana. Moyer was 49.
Yeah, Santana's only, quotation marks, 34.
He had trouble getting out of the car in Las Vegas. They had to use, those things that climb up the stairs? They had to use that on the team bus when they pull into those Pacific Coast League games.
Lifts.
All right, that's enough. Yeah. We're all getting older. What can we do? Stephen Brunt, a Sportsnet columnist, host of PTS, joins us on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So, you know, we're moving, and we know you'd rather be on with us. We love having you on, and we have great conversations. We know you prefer the 6:20 a.m., 6:40 a.m. slots. I hope you can make time for us at 2 p.m. I know that's bad for you, but...
Just don't know if that's going to... It won't be the same for me, for sure.
Yeah, or for anybody. Any advice? Now, and also, we're back leaning into Bob. I think this is important to ask. He likes the studio a certain way. He likes it to be clean. Are there things we shouldn't leave around to distract him from shows, from show prep? What do we do?
He likes the studio very clean. He likes the thermostat set at it kind of morgue temperature, right? You know.
Oh, like Letterman's nice studio. Cool. Oh.
Yeah, he doesn't want to deteriorate any further, so he likes to keep it very cool. Uh-huh. And so yeah, and you know, and he loves doing those little crossover bits with the hosts that are before him. So make sure you're there for that.
Oh yeah, yeah. We'll get there bright and early, but we'll get to see more of you several weeks a year, right? So that's good.
Yes, indeed. I would say I'm about to make my PTS return next week, so I'll be there
showing off your tan now. And you, how's your meniscus? Everything's healthy. What an unbelievable news! Like, it's the last possible day that position players report. And I don't think we're into the topic. Sports radio is so bad. It's like, hey, are the Jays reporting too early, based on this injury? What was the thought process? No one was like, oh God, this blows up their season. But it's not good news. There's not a guy that they have that can step right in and replicate what they were hoping Saunders is going to do.
Well, you know, it's not. Saunders was. People hadn't made a big deal about Michael Saunders, but I think, you know, kind of internally there was a. People felt really good about putting him in left field, that they were going to be a lot better defensively, that he would be more than adequate offensively. And, you know, you don't need him to be – you look at that lineup, you know, he's going to be a bottom third of the order guy. But, you know, and a left-handed bat, which they're a little short on left-handed bats right now. So, I think kind of quietly that was a really nice move that they made in the offseason. And he really – you know, he's been here for a while. He came in early, and he's just so happy to be here. You know, it's kind of a corny thing to say, but the guy just – was beaming all the time. He really was looking forward to the season and being with this team. So yeah, downer on all those levels. And it's not, you know, it's not a cataclysmic injury in terms of the roster and where the, you know, what they need to have happen this year. But there's not really a simple fix there. It's going to be a bit of a patchwork thing until he gets back. And just, I don't think there's any way around that. And I don't think they make a move. They're not going to do anything dramatic because he is coming back at the All-Star break, or everybody assumes that.
Right. And let's all be honest, as we've seen it with, hey, even the disastrous season 2 years ago, the season was not decided by the time the All-Star break rolled around. So he'll be back. You know, he'll be back for it.
Yeah. He'll be back, and you know, and in the meantime, you're going to put somebody out there, or a couple of somebodies, because they'll probably platoon, who will, you know, play good defense, which is paramount with this team right now. And you know, offensively, are you going to get what you would have gotten out of Saunders against right-handed pitching? Probably not. But that shouldn't be the problem for this team. Offense shouldn't be the problem for this team.
Who is the who's the opening day starter on this team?
Well, you know, baseball etiquette would suggest it would be R.A. Dickey because he's a Cy Young winner.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice John Gibbons did not commit to that. So they may be manipulating things based on, you know, where those games in the first couple of weeks are being played, and maybe trying to max out Dickey's starts in the dome with the roof closed, because presumably it will be in April. You know, there might be a foot of snow on it the way it's going. Yeah, it was interesting that he didn't just say automatically R.A. Dickey, because that's in baseball, that's what you do. You know, it's the guy who's got the best resume, you know, the guy who's got the best history. So, you know, if not him, you know, and again, let's assume everybody gets to the starting line healthy here, knock on wood. But if not him, the guy who I'd love to see do it is Marcus Stroman.
Yeah,
yeah.
If Marcus Stroman is
in New York.
Well, it's in New York, exactly.
If he has and you're not starting Mark Burley in New York.
No, you're not starting Mark Burley in New York, and Stroman is from there. You know, his first start was there. You know, among his first starts, and he was kind of out of his mind. You know, he was kind of jacked up to the point where the only time I saw him look flustered last year was pitching that first time in Yankee Stadium. But you know, right now he's kind of the guy. You know, you get the feeling that those young pitchers are all kind of neat, but Marcus Stroman walks around like he belongs. So I'd be quite comfortable handing him the ball.
Stephen Brunn, our guest, kind of joins on Brady and Walker, 7:30. Hazel May's coming up in just a little bit. Well, let me ask you, we got a lot of calls in the fall, and people said, what are the offseason needs? And people would yell and scream at us, and then they hang up. It was kind of a common theme. And they'd say, but I want the Jays to sign a Cy Young Award winner. And they just did yesterday, so I don't know what people want, Stephen. I really, people are greedy sometimes. They signed Johan Santana.
Well,
it's not Max Scherzer or David Price, but they signed him. Come on.
It's if it works out, it's great. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't matter. You know, like, why not? A lot of teams were looking at him in the offseason, in Venezuela. He was, and he looked, by all accounts, he looked pretty good. He doesn't have a ton of velocity, but he never really did. It's all about, with him, it's all about the changeup. And the last injury that, felled him was not the shoulder. It was an Achilles. So, it wasn't yet another. We had three shoulder injuries, I think, which is, shoulder injuries are, even worse than elbow injuries. They're hard to fix. But, he's going to show up presumably today or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. They'll take a look at him. If they could slot him in as the fifth starter and, buy a little bit of time with the young pitchers, I think they would do that. And if it doesn't work out, then they send him home. It's not – I was talking to one of the other baseball writers about this the other day, and I said it's not like when they had Tomo Oka here and they really needed something good to happen, right?
No.
That kind of had to work out.
Or Jamie
this
Moyer,
Yeah, you take a flyer on this guy, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Yeah.
Stephen Brunt, on Brady and Walker, we do these listener polls, and you are our 14th highest rated guest. You are number one to us, though, so we want to see more of you in the afternoon.
Who's 13? Who am I chasing?
Hang on, let me see.
Wilner. So, but it's a love hate relationship the listeners have. It's not,
Yeah, well, Wilner, I would think. Yeah, he does polarize. So. I got a shot there, probably.
Well, you don't. We loved having you on. Safe travels back, and we'll be listening for you on primetime next week.
Okay, enjoy the move.
There's a few boxes. I got a couple staplers in my pocket. But, besides that, we should be fine. They won't miss them. $12 billion and all that.
Thanks
Steven.
See you guys.
Stephen Brunt joining us, one of our favorite guests. Now, oh, my heavens, this is exciting. Now, we've only got a few minutes for her. But we got to sit next to her at the Conn Smythe dinner. We thought, sometimes you work in a building and worlds just don't meet. Like,
right.
There are people I've never met. I've never met Jamie Campbell. Have you met Jamie Campbell?
I have met Jamie Campbell.
We're different floors, though. That's the big thing.
You've never met Doug McClain, and I find that really strange.
That's not accurate.
He thinks you've been here a long time.
Hazel May joins us on Brady.
Oh, Walker.
My
heavens.
Of our favorites, one of our friends. We got to ask you this, and you might not even know what this means. I don't know what your plans were last night. What color is the dress?
Okay.
Hang up on him.
I want to know.
Come on.
I just want you to know that Tim McAuliffe and I co-hosted an employee awards gala last night.
Never heard of him.
So so I honestly did not know what was going on until I got in a cab coming back home and I checked my Twitter and people were talking about this dress and I thought, what does this dress have to do with sports? What's going on here? And the dress that I saw was black and blue.
No! Thank you. You're right, Hazel. No, it's Brady. You're right.
No,
you're right.
You're both wrong.
You're right. Nope. You nailed it. Triple 20s.
I don't get it. Where is this white and gold dress?
It's like these people are...
It's crazy. People are murdering each other.
It's like there are aliens amongst us, and now we know Walker's one of them. So this explains a lot.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we solved that mystery. Not.
Now you have your own collection on the Shopping Channel. You're a designer and a broadcaster. No, you are. You're a designer, broadcaster, mom, wife. Now, could you make something of this dress? Could we see something similar where people argue about one of your designs? Could we do that?
Yes, I could. I don't know. I would have Andrew kind of be my model.
I suppose.
And I can maybe whip something up really quick.
I am looking for work.
And he's worn worse.
And he's worn worse.
Yes. How is Rob Manfred?
You know what? He was very commissionery, if I can say that. It was a terrific interview. And if I can plug our MLB preview show on April 5th on Sportsnet, I had a terrific conversation. I asked him about Montreal. I asked him about Pete Rose. But between him and Mr. Selig, Rob is, I would say, a lot more... I want to say guarded than Mr. Selig was. Mr. Selig was a lot more comfortable talking about things. And I think in the back of his mind, he knew who was on, his goodbye tour. But Mr. Manfred, I thought, was very, very, I want to say between him and Mr. Selig, he's a very decisive commissioner. He wants action, and he wants to do it right now, where Mr. Selig was the type of commissioner where he would always poll the owners until he got a consensus, a 30-0 vote, and then he would make changes, where Mr. Manfred came across very like he knew what he wanted to do. He had a specific direction he wants to take the league, and I don't want to give away too much.
No.
I thought my conversation with him was he was as candid as he could be regarding Montreal and regarding Pete Rose. And I even asked him about, you know, players that were tainted with PEDs and whether he thought they should be allowed into the Hall of Fame. So a little tease there for
everybody. It's going to be our generation's version of Frost Nixon. It really will.
May Manfred. You'd concur also. He's got a little bit of a different tailor than Bud also. He's buying his suits at different places than Bud was by the end. Really,
he's a little bit more put together. And I'll share a story now with you that Mr. Selig's retired. When we sat down with Mr. Selig a couple of years ago, and of course Mr. Selig comes with, you know, security detail and his PR people, big entourage. And as he walked towards our set, he sat down. He took out one of those, you know, little 70s style combs, and he was combing his hair. And we started the interview with, you know, nice to see you, Mr. Commissioner. And his PR guy stepped in and said, nope, cut. We got to do this again. He looked at Mr. Selig and said, Commissioner, you still have shaving cream on your ear.
That's right, yeah.
And he was literally, as we're sitting there, taking the shaving cream off his ear. I've seen him in events where he's had food at the corner of his mouth when his PR guy was coming over and trying to, you know, a lovely, lovely man. But I think Mr. Manfred is a lot more put together than
I don't know how I don't know how men get whipped cream in their eyebrows. I don't, but he's a candidate. So listen, we're fresh out of time. We want to talk more. We hope you'll come and visit us at 1 o'clock. It's a civil hour at 1 o'clock. And you told us you listen. We were downright shocked because we get told, oh, it's only a bunch of construction workers that listen. And that's ridiculous.
No, absolutely ridiculous. I do listen to you guys. So I wish you well between 1 to 4. At least I'll see you in the building now when I come in.
We are. That'll be big for us as well. And plus, we're going to be I had a joke about Sid, but I don't know, even know what to say anymore.
Go ahead.
It was something to do with eating.
Don't encourage.
Okay, I won't. Well, I wish you guys luck, and I'm really, really happy to have met you guys at the Conn Smythe, even though I know you thought it was Lucy Liu from Charlie's Angels.
That's incredibly racist. And
Walker, listen, Walker doesn't look like every 5'6" guy from Saskatchewan. They have differences.
He's no more than 5'4".
Come on. That is not even
I can tell which of you
not
was in accurate. I couldn't tell which of you was in heels that
Get
night.
Get a measuring tape.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
We got to go, Hazel. Say hi to Kevin. We'll talk to him soon as well. We'll talk soon.
All right, you guys. Look forward to it.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Keep it here for more Brady and Walker, only on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
7:46, Brady and Walker, good morning, happy Friday. Big game at the ACC tonight, the Raptors, the Golden State Warriors, should be fun. You're going, you have tickets.
I'm
going
to go, yeah.
Thanks for the invite.
I never get to go. You've gone 3 or 4 times this year and you don't ask me.
I've been to 2 games.
And you're going on a mandate tonight that I could have been your third wheel and you didn't ask me that either.
Yes, I did. I asked you, and then you told me you were going to the Golden State game. That's exactly how it happened.
You got a better offer.
You're a liar,
Mr.
Lundegaard.
You pretend it's July 1st, and you're an NHL free agent.
So it's been an amazing 2 years when it comes to David Clarkson. So this is the, before we get to Dallas Eakins, former Edmonton Oilers head coach, former Toronto Marlies head coach, this is the genesis of it. He's a free agent in New Jersey. It really comes down to, if you would believe reports, Toronto or Edmonton. Edmonton offers less term but more money. Signs here. We know the rest of the story. And last night, David Clarkson gets traded. That is absolutely incredible that they got out from under that deal.
It's a huge part of it's one of the most shocking hockey trades. I have heard that we got to get rid of untradeable. We got to get rid of untouchable. They're not.
Yep. That shouldn't be a thing anymore.
Everybody talks about everybody.
It's you know how everyone says, hey, well, if Gretzky can be traded, it's now different. It's now Clarkson.
By the way, CHL Friday Night Hockey tonight, our friend Jeff Merrick will anchor that Guelph Storm London Knights from the Budweiser Gardens tonight at 7:30. We head to Boston, Mass, where, Dallas Eakins is, who's been on our show before, and we thank him for his time this morning. So you're at the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, yeah?
Yeah, just getting ready to head over there, and I'm not doing any work until tomorrow, but looking forward to seeing some of these people speak here today.
What you feel? I have this debate with myself all the time. Am I smarter? I'm 43, Dallas. Am I smarter than I was when I was 20? And you feel like you got 20 years of experience of right moves, wrong moves, you know, and then you go, well, yeah, I'm still not surrounded. you don't get surrounded by incredibly smart people like you are in college and all that. Like, are you constantly looking for that extra edge and to gain that little bit of knowledge week by week, month by month? You seem like you would.
Yeah, well, it's for me, it's every day. It's, you know, whether it's something to do with hockey or my, you know, I'm raising two young girls, anything. It's for me, it's constant knowledge. When it comes to my profession, things are moving quickly, especially in this stats world, a different way to look at games. And with the NHL being that 3-2 league where, you know, every night it's basically a one goal game. You're looking for that edge. And if you can find a little bit of an edge in analytics and looking at the game a little bit differently, then I'm certainly going to have a look at it. A lot goes into coaching. There's gut decisions. There's stats. There's relationships. There's motivation, and you certainly want to get them all checked off.
Dallas Aikens, our guest. So people would ask, and you've probably given, maybe it's varied over the last couple of months. 31 games in, you're relieved of your duties. It's probably the first downtime you've had away from the rink on a daily basis in what, 10 years? I don't have a record for anything you did during the lockout because you retired as a player. Has it been that long? At first, did you not know what to do and then it just became easy? You're very devoted to your family. You were able to take time and do things you just haven't had time to do for 20, 29, 30 years out of your career.
Yeah, it's an incredible thing to go through. I'll say that. The good of it is I've been able to reintroduce myself to my family. When you're a coach in the NHL, you're up and gone. Even at the American League level, you're up and gone before they wake up. And then you return home sometime around dinner time, late afternoon, spend a few hours with them, and they're gone back to bed again. So I've had an incredible run here with my daughters and with my wife, something that I really enjoyed. The other side of it is you've been going at 1,000 miles an hour and suddenly it stops. And the one thing I am learning about myself is I don't do well with a lot of time. I need to stay busy. And I've been trying to do that.
Dallas Aikens is our guest. One of the factors you mentioned there was relationships. And I thought that was really evident over the last couple of years with yourself and Nail Yakupov. And it's interesting watching this guy now, and I find myself kind of rooting for him, to be honest. And I know you spent a lot of time with him, and he was saddled with these first overall, you know, the pressure and the expectations. You know what it's like. And have we seen a final click here with Nail? He seems to be playing maybe some of the best hockey of his career over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, you know what? I can't comment on his play because I haven't. You know, I watched four or five games after I was let go, and you know, you're watching to compare apples to apples.
Okay, I'll rephrase then. Did you see in your dealings with Nail Yakupov? Did you see a light at the end of the tunnel of him getting it?
Well, I did, and our long-term goal with Nail was to not just have him be a player that was going to just score and not worry about anything else. Our long-term goal for him and his own long-term goal was to be a very well-rounded player, a guy that you can rely on to do all kinds of things. And some players can, you know, continue to score as they focus on the defensive part of the game. And sometimes there's a step back and you've got to be okay with that. And I think people equated him not scoring was he was not playing well, and that wasn't true. He was learning the other side of the game, and I think, you know, even when I let go, that Nail had come such a long way in a year. He was much more well-rounded. He was turning into that player that you could start to rely on in different situations, and I'm sure it's continued on. You know, when I stopped watching the games was as soon as the all the movement happened, and I'm and I'm only speculating here, but I'm guessing that having a veteran center like Derek Roy has paid huge dividends for Nail, and it was something that we couldn't give to him while I was there. Having that veteran guy in the middle with him is I'm guessing paying off great for Nail. And Nail's a great kid. I think there's been so much misinformation out there about the relationship between him and I. It's a good one, and it's still a good one to this day.
Dallas Aikens, our guest. How you're obviously not going to stop following the game. Do you look and you talked about your family time? Do you look and say next fall, this summer, I'd love to make some phone calls. I'd love to get some phone calls. I'm ready to. We talked to Dan Bylsma last summer, and he said the same thing. The time has been great. I can never explain in words how great it is to have that reconnection and reintroduction. But this is what I do, and I want to get back. How do you feel about this spring and summer to come?
Yeah, well, that's my plan as well. It's right now all the managers and everyone is very busy with the trade deadline approaching. Once that deadline goes by, it'll be time to start reaching out to the people that you've worked with. And, you know, me being moved around as a player as much as I have, I've got, it seems like, relationships on every team. I've never burned any bridges anywhere. I stayed in great contact with people. So, you know, that's when you just kind of lay it out there that, hey, I don't want to collect another, whatever it is, 2.5 years on my contract. I want to work. And I think all coaches want to work. And the notion of, oh, hey, he's got term, he's fine, it's a bit of a facade. Yeah, it's nice to have term, but you want to be in that rink every day getting after it.
We wish you the best. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning, and maybe we can do it closer towards the end of the season as well. You still got lots of people that loved what you did here in Toronto and really are pulling for you. Thanks for this.
Hey, and good luck to you guys in the afternoon. You can sleep in now.
Yes.
We'll still get up early to go for bike rides and work out.
Okay.
He's one of us might. Yeah, we'll see you out there. Thanks, all Dallas. Right. Greatly appreciate it. Dallas all Aikens joining us on Brady and Walker. I told you, and it was before we got to work together, we said, Dallas, can you come in one morning? And all of a sudden, this guy comes in with like soppy, wet hair, and he's soaked in sweat. And we're like, was it raining out? And he's like, no, I ran here. like 6K.
Yeah.
There's, just to come in for a radio appearance.
There is dedication, and then there's Dallas Aikens.
There's that yes. Dude. Yeah.
7:56. It is Brady and Walker. Hang on, I got to check the. What's coming up? Lots of guests.
Masai Ujiri.
Yes, Masai Ujiri is next. Then Elliot Friedman.
What color is the dress, and would he wear it?
Yep.
And that's at 8:20.
Darcy Tucker still coming up in 15 minutes.
Don't ask him that.